Coming up, the new Samsung Gear VR is hot off the conveyor belt. Does it deliver? More coming up.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello and welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing from the newsroom in New York. I'm Tanya Bustos. And virtual reality is alive and well. The new Samsung Gear VR has officially been unveiled at the Galaxy Note 7 media event. What does this brand new hardware introduction mean to the VR industry? Quite a bit, it seems. Joining us now is Stephanie Yamas. She is the Director of Research and Insights for Super Data Research. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
So the new Samsung Gear VR was unveiled. Your first impressions, is this a true upgrade?
Yes, I think it is. The fact that it is going to have a wider range of vision, a wider field of vision, is really important. It's essential to helping make this an immersive experience, and it's something that mobile VR has had setbacks with. So even upping the field of vision 5-6 degrees is a huge difference in terms of making this a more immersive experience, making it feel like you're actually there and part of what you're seeing, since that is essentially what VR helps you do.
Right. Now, does this device support older Samsung phones?
It does. It supports up to the Galaxy 6. So this is really exciting because the pre-orders for 7 weren't that long ago. Mm-hmm. The pre-orders that you could get the Gear VR with. And it's really important that the consumers who've purchased the S7, who pre-ordered that phone so that they could get a Gear VR, it's important that they're going to be able to participate. Otherwise, it would create a lot of, hostility, I would imagine, on the part of consumers who have already invested and believe in the tech. So being able not only to allow S7 users or previous users who have the previous iteration of Gear VRs to experience this is really important, but also being able to allow consumers who maybe haven't experienced it yet and now are starting to see that Samsung really is a leader in terms of VR technology, and hey, maybe I should try this, even though I haven't tried the previous one, because mm-hmm. it seems to be getting better and better. So this is a great way, I think, for Samsung to include some of the consumers who've previously bought Samsung phones without them feeling like they need to buy into this new technology.
And speaking to the fact that they are somewhat of a leader in this arena, none of the other major VR headset manufacturers have come out with a second iteration of their device yet. So does this give Samsung an important edge here?
It certainly does. There are a lot of rumors circulating about Oculus and HTC Vive coming up with another iteration of their consumer devices. That is really exciting, but in the meantime, we're still wondering what that's going to look like. And now we're actually going to be able to get a taste of what advancement in this technology does look like. What a product looks like 1 year later after it's been developed and after there's been consumer feedback. So it gives Samsung not only the edge in terms of its leadership in developing newer technology, but it also gives them an edge in terms of just other devices that are going to come into the space, into the mobile space. They have not only the lead in terms of the fact that they've been around much longer than, Google has. They haven't even released their new VR device. Mm-hmm. So they've already got that lead. But the fact that they not only have a lead, but have newer developments constantly coming out and are showing that they have been around for a while and that they are experts in this space is valuable for them, especially compared to the higher-end devices.
Right. I mean, in terms of devices sold, when you look at the competition, you have Oculus, PlayStation, VR, HTC. I think Samsung kind of blows them out of the park as well, correct?
Absolutely. Mobile is certainly going to be the dark horse for VR and getting people to adopt it. Mm-hmm. I mean, just pricing alone, it's super accessible. Everyone has a smartphone pretty much, and just to have to pay $100 extra for a really interesting, fun device, that's very different from having to purchase a $400 or $800 device that's on top of another device that not everyone has and can be really pricey. So the Samsung Gear shipments are set to reach 4.5 million by the end of this year, compared to just 1 million for Oculus and Vive combined, and the PlayStation VR being about 2.5 million. So it really shows that the Samsung Gear is the main leader in forwarding VR at the moment, just purely on the basis of accessibility. But there are also so many people who haven't tried VR who don't necessarily feel like they are as involved in technology and as hardcore, I guess, as people who are going out and trying the higher-end devices. So this gives people the opportunity to sort of dip their toes into the water and see kind of what VR is like. And that first experience is very, very transformative in terms of the way that people think about VR. I mean, before they try a VR device, a lot of people have little to no idea what that experience would even look like. And the Gear VR is a fantastic device, especially for its price point and the fact that it's mobile.
Right.
So being able to not just access people on an affordability level and being able to actually access people who otherwise may not feel that they are the type of people who would try or buy a higher-end device, that gives them a huge edge.
Very interesting. Stephanie Yamas, thank you very much for joining the podcast.
Thank you.
Stephanie is the Director of Research and Insights for Super Data Research. That'll do it for this edition of the Tech News Briefing. For the Wall Street Journal, I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.
For more podcasts, check us out at wsj.com/podcasts. Become a subscriber on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and now look for us on the Google Play Music app on Android devices.